Hi, welcome back to Real Weirdness. This is Augie.
This is Pam.
And this is Miranda.
We are enjoying a lovely evening on Pam's patio this evening, and the neighbor dog has been contributing to our conversation. So if he chimes in, just understand that we're all animal lovers and he's adorable. We decided to take a little bit different approach tonight to the podcast. We are going to try to make it a little more conversational. And since it's October and Halloween month and all that kind of good stuff, we decided to talk about our fears. And I guess that if it's okay with you ladies, I'll start the ball rolling.
Absolutely.
Yeah, go ahead.
And say,
I have a fear of starting things. Not really. I'm just kidding.
Well, my fear that I'm going to start with is, I think, fairly common. I have a tremendous fear of heights.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when I was a kid, I didn't want to jump rope because I didn't want to get that far off the ground. That's too much. I can't handle it. I remember, well, do you remember Astroworld?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
My parents and some of their friends took me and their daughter to Astroworld. And everybody wanted to ride the needle. You know, it was just up and down.
I don't remember that.
It basically just went up and did a real slow rotation, and you could see the city, you know, that kind of thing. And I was all for it when we were far away. And then we got there, I was like, no. And I mean, I was crying. I was just terrified. So my mom ended up staying with me, and the others went up in it. And I don't know where it came from. I halfway think it might have something to do with my bad eyesight when I was little, and it interfered with my sense of perception.
Right. Well, I think some of it's just like ingrained in your DNA. It's a survival thing,
yeah,
right?
That, what do they call it? The reptilian brain, or whatever. It's like, right, don't go in high places.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's my first one.
Well, I remember, I think my fear of heights probably is something that kind of came on as I got older. Maybe I just became more commonsensical. I don't know. But, like, one of the most recent that I can think of, it was Orange County Fair, and we did, oh my gosh, I'll never do it again. You know that ride where it'll take you up and then
and
it free falls you?
Oh, yeah, like a parachute.
Yeah. We did that. And it's not that large. It's not that high, per se, compared to the ones that you would see at the Six Flags or something.
Right.
Those are just, like, what, 10 stories high? Heck no. This was maybe, like, 3 stories or something. I don't know. And I remember getting in it, and it's like, oh, this is no big deal. Giggle, giggle. And then they take you up, and then it just stops. And you're sitting, it's like, oh, my God, I started to panic.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is so high. I'm panicking. I can't do this. And that just fall. I just... Yeah.
Mm-mm. No, I'm not.
I'm not going to be jumping out of airplanes anytime soon.
I don't know. I've never really had a fear of heights. I mean, I don't mind being high up. I think it's just the falling. I always get worried that it's going to hurt.
Well, yeah.
You know, well, but, like, no, but like those things, like, I've seen them go up and then they stop it, but they kind of jerk.
Oh, yeah, you know? No, that doesn't hurt.
Well, I would just assume, like, you know, oh, God, your back hurts or something.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, and then you go back up and then it, you know. But
well, even like on a ski lift, I panicked on a stupid ski lift. It's
I could. I can't.
Was it like the little chair lift or what?
Yeah, the chair lift.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh, I hated it. And it would stop because somebody fell when they were getting off, and then you start swaying back and forth. And I'm like, I can't do
it. No, even those gondolas that they had at Astro. Well, my school in Switzerland, I was in, I know you were in Lausanne, I was in Lucerne. And it was like up on a hillside. So your transportation would stop at the bottom of the hill, and then it was a little gondola that went up to school. I spent the first 2 nights on the school bus because I wouldn't get in the gondola to go up to
but
the school.
But that was all, you were enclosed.
That doesn't make any difference. I've tried to think what it is that I'm afraid of. And I've heard some people say that they feel like they're going to jump.
Oh, if they get, it's like an impulse thing.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I think mine is, it's like an inevitability. I don't trust my sense of balance, what little I have. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like it's going to go.
Right.
You know, I don't trust my body not to do something stupid. And
right. Well, see, this kind of goes back to that morbid conversation that we had before, you know, bringing into 9/11 and the choice that these people had to make, the fear of heights, having to make that choice, as opposed to, I mean, you have two of the worst, I suppose.
Right.
I don't know.
I cannot possibly say what I would have done. Yeah. I have no clue. I have a feeling I would have probably taken my chances in the building.
Well, you know, jumping, you're just going to die.
So. Well, I guess there's always, you know, the firemen have the thing,
no.
But I would think that from a certain distance up, that doesn't matter anymore.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
It's not anything I ever want to test.
Oh,
no.
No.
All right, so who wants to go next and throw one out there?
Oh, Pam.
Well, I mean, I guess living near Galveston, you go down to the beach, and you know there's sharks there.
Oh, yeah. Sharks.
And you can't see through the water. It's murky, it's muddy, and, you know, things bump into you, and you're like, I hope that's just seaweed. I hope it's just a fish. I'm afraid of things that you can't see.
I can relate to that.
That's common.
Yeah, swimming in the ocean and having that sense of a lot of space beneath you and what could be in it.
Well, this is this is like when the water's just up to your knees. But, you know, you're still walking.
Yeah.
But, you know there's things there that you can't see.
Well, it's like not right your environment. You're basically like the guest. Yeah. You're the visitor in their habitat.
But the other thing, too, on the flip side, do you really want to see that shark swimming in that clear blue water coming straight at you?
But there's other things, too, like when you take a step, even if it's just up to your knees, and something squirms out from under your foot.
Oh, yeah.
Usually it's crabs.
Yeah, a crab or something like, but you don't
but
know.
But now you can step on a stingray.
Yeah.
Well, you could.
And then they can barb
sting
you.
Sting you.
Yeah, and
they don't really have stingrays where we are here.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do.
Well, not where.
I think they've got stingrays.
In the surf. I don't think they like the surf because it's really rough. I think they like.
I remember being warned as a kid.
Well, they have man o' wars.
Yeah, but those are jellyfish.
That's a jellyfish. Right, but that's totally different.
I know, but I've never seen.
I've heard like they say you're supposed to shuffle your feet, so which to me almost is worse because you're shuffling your feet. You might stick your toes into something.
But I just don't think they like the rough.
I don't know. That's a question that needs to be looked
at. You know, fish for flounder, you know.
Yeah.
They're not in the, they're like in the inlets where it's.
That's true.
Where it's calmer.
That's true, yeah.
They're not in the surf. So.
Yeah, and they're bottom fish too.
Yeah. Just kind of, so I'm not really worried about that. It's just other things in the water that you just can't see.
Yeah. I would never swim in a pool alone at night.
Oh, I wouldn't.
Well,
either.
Jaws comes out. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, now I think of Stranger Things.
Oh.
Do you remember? This freaked me out so bad, and it's so silly.
Something can come up from the drain and like suck you down and eat you.
The SNL skit about the toilet shark.
I don't know. I know land shark. Was there a toilet shark?
Yeah, this was a toilet shark.
I don't remember.
And it would come up. Through the bathroom drain, or
as you're going
the
to the bathroom,
or,
oh, that's awful.
It got Lorraine Newman, which really upset me because she was my favorite. But yeah, there was a skit about that.
Okay. No, I remember swimming at the pool, the public pool, Plaza Oaks, and the way the swimming pool was set up, you had the long ways, the lap way. And then the deep end kind of jutted out on one side.
Oh, okay.
And so every time I had to swim by that deep end, I'd go faster and faster because it was darker over there. It was colder over there. there was something in that drain waiting to come up and snack you.
I blame Alfred Hitchcock. There was always something in the deep end of the pool. No. And now I was okay if other people were in the pool with me.
Really?
But not alone, no.
Well, with the lights and everything.
Yeah, still creepy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still dark, but you can see down there and you know a shark can't come through the
drain. Oh my gosh. Well, I think.
Yeah, but like, there might be a dead body.
Yeah, we talked. Did we talk about.
True.
When we were in Greece and snorkeling in Greece.
Oh, yeah, that was always terrifying.
That was terrifying.
Really?
Because it was so, it was clear and shallow, and the water was warm, and you could see everything, see stuff. And as you ventured farther away from
you
the shore,
over, like, the shelf,
all of a sudden the shelf had just dropped.
And then you saw was like kelp and
seaweed, and it was dark, and it was cold.
And you knew that there was like
something,
an Amori eel down there.
There was a kraken or something waiting to come up and chomp you.
I have to go back to shore.
Yeah.
I would really hate that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Miranda, you're up.
Oh, dang.
We're doing rounds here.
All right. One of my fears is to tell everybody my fears. It's true, because then they use it against you.
Well, we wouldn't do that.
No.
I'm just saying. Oh. You never know. I mean, if somebody kidnaps me and they know my fears, and then they're going to torture me with my fears.
They're going to put you in a deep pool, and there's going to be a baby shark.
Baby shark. Baby shark to involve me. Baby shark. No, but
there's a child at the train.
With a baby shark?
Yeah, and then at the bottom, it had baby shark and then this tiny shark on it, and then down at the bottom of the shirt it said, do, 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 do.
I have a song for Wendy.
A Wendy?
Instead of baby shark, it's Wendy.
Wendy shark?
Wendy, I can't remember what
Wendy
it is.
Wendy cat.
Wendy poops.
Wendy poops.
Wendy poop, 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 Wendy poops.
I'm so glad my kids are old enough not to have to ever hear that song.
It's fun. Come on. Don't be so jaded and hateful.
I still like Hamster Dance.
I'm not jaded and hateful.
Oh, gosh. That's a flashback.
I thought Hamster Dance was cute.
It was cute. Yeah. So, yeah, one of my fears is...
But is that really a fear or is that paranoia?
Paranoia. It's a paranoia. Okay.
Okay.
One of my fears...
You're hedging.
Oh, gosh. Being buried alive.
Oh, on so many levels.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, nobody is like saying, yes, please, I want to be buried alive. But no, it haunts me. So it's an irrational thing that haunts me. It's like, was I buried alive in a past life?
Well, that's what a phobia is. That's the definition of a phobia.
And
a deep, unreasoning fear.
And having... an individual who will, he likes to suffocate me under the blankets.
There's so many rolled into that, like the claustrophobia, the smothering,
the inability to move, the trapped, the...
That's a biggie.
Terrifying. Awful. And you sit there and you try to, like, control it and control your panic, but you just can't. It just wells up and you just start screaming.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay, so back to me. Claustrophobia.
I think that's another,
Claustrophobia. I think I told you guys I had my first experience with sleep paralysis. And a component of that was the claustrophobia. I thought I was like bending over to get into a drawer in a chest of drawers, and like get into one of the bottom drawers, and this thing, it was like a man in a top hat and a big cape.
Wait, is this a dream?
It was what was the sleep paralysis. I don't know if I was completely asleep.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it wasn't real, clearly.
Right.
But it felt like he came up behind me and bent over me as I was bending over, and he took that cape and he just kind of engulfed me.
Oh, gosh.
And I couldn't move. I couldn't move and I couldn't make a sound. I couldn't scream. I couldn't do anything. All I could do was stay bent over going for that drawer.
Uh-huh.
And that claustrophobia, that horrible.
Now, was that, how old were you when you experienced
this? Was just
it?
A couple of months ago.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. This, it's the only time I've ever experienced it. And part of me, it was really strange. Part of me was aware that I was in bed.
Mm-hmm.
But part of me really thought, mm-hmm. I have a chest of drawers that belonged to my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in my bathroom. I keep different things in it. And one of the things I keep is fresh towels in the bottom drawer.
Uh-huh.
And I very clearly saw myself bending over to get into that drawer to get
right.
a towel to have a bath.
Mm-hmm.
And then this guy just kind of came out of nowhere and engulfed me.
Right.
But at the same time, I was kind of aware I was in bed.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, I think that happens like when you're like right on the edge of
REM sleep.
Like you're still half awake, but you're kind of falling asleep. And then people say like, oh, I couldn't move. And, mm-hmm. you know, I tried to move and I couldn't. But
right.
I think that's.
Well, they say if you're in REM sleep, your body does go into a paralysis to protect yourself because if you're in an active dreaming mode and you start thrashing around, you're going to punch yourself in the face. But then they also say another theory is that a sleep paralysis is what does Zach say? It could be like
a demon.
It's okay. A demon or a ghost or something.
I still have to go home alone tonight, guys.
You're the one that brought up the fear topic.
And I am afraid of that. That did scare me.
Well, I think the weirdest thing, like, I was, this is, years ago, and Scott and I were living in this apartment, and for some reason
Which one? The one by the downtown?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the one by St. Thomas High School.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And for some reason, I'm thinking he was out of town or something, I don't know, he wasn't there for whatever reason. And I remember I was asleep, and I remember turning over, and I just knew there was someone sleeping next to me.
I remember you telling me about that.
Yeah, and it was like, there was a man sleeping next to me.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, and it was like, okay, I know there's no one here because it's just me. But I was convinced, like, I could see the man's shape, his face, you know, I mean, it was just, you know, like, it was dark, so it was just like a shadow.
And you, wait, you were awake when this happened?
No,
or no, you were
like,
asleep.
I was asleep.
Oh, you were dreaming.
But I was, but it was like I was awake.
Yeah, it's that, yeah, that kind of
in
between.
Right, well, it's like then I woke, you know, then I, like, opened my eyes, and I was like, just move my hand.
There's nothing there.
And there was nothing there. But
well,
I was convinced that it was that somebody was there.
It was mm-hmm. like when we were in Oaxaca. Remember we went to Oaxaca to go see the
total eclipse of the sun.
Yeah, the solar eclipse. And we were sharing Pam and I had a room and then Mom and our friend had their room and it was like a queen size bed or something. There was one bed in there. And so we were asleep. And I remember I woke up, I was rolling over to, because I thought my boyfriend was there.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, that's my sister. Ew. You know, that kind of thing. But, you know, it's that kind of thing. You're like, you're kind of in that tweener, awake, asleep, mm-hmm. whatnot mode. So your mind is visualizing, registering
there.
Something.
There was nobody there. It was just me.
But I'm just saying, it's like in your mind, you're so used to him being there
that
it's just, I don't think there was a ghost sleeping in your bed.
God, I hope not.
Maybe he had astral projected himself to sleep with you in bed.
There, he knew you'd be frightened.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I wasn't frightened. It was just weird. But yeah, when I saw the guy there, then I was like, oh my God, there's so many of this. Oh my God, oh my God. And then I was like, no, I'm alone, you idiot. And then.
But I mean, that's what makes you wonder how much of it, these supposed ghostly encounters, especially when people are sleeping, how much of it is actually true or how much of it is sleep.
But the flip side of that coin is, could it have been something?
True.
You know, you just, you don't know.
You don't know.
You can't tell. There's always that if factor. And
did somebody die in that apartment before
sure.
you?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't know.
You don't know.
And that was the only time it ever happened, so.
Somebody died in my bedroom in that house
Which house?
Where I live now.
Oh, oh really?
Heck no.
Yeah, Leah was absolutely gleeful. She couldn't wait to tell me.
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh.
Old man so-and-so. Yeah, he died in that room.
Why didn't they tell that to you when you...
You don't have to, as long as it's not...
A murder?
Yeah, or within... I think if it's been more than 3 years, you don't have to...
It's like, oh, by the way, your house is the local Amityville Horror House, but you don't need to know that because it was 10 years ago. Nobody's exactly. lived there since, so right. it's all good.
But it is frightening. But, you know, it's real funny that you say that about move your hand. And it was like some part of me knew when I was experiencing this, mm-hmm. if I could move something, it I could break.
Away. Break that.
Yeah. You know, if I even just a finger or something, just move something.
But yeah, I remember being just like, oh my God. And yeah, I couldn't move. I was just like, mm-hmm. oh my God, there's someone here, there's someone here, there's someone here. And then I was like, no, you just, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was part of me that knew I wasn't bending over and getting in a drawer.
Right.
And yet, it's something I've done so many times. I don't know. Anyway, mm-hmm. it was pretty terrifying in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, claustrophobia would definitely be one of mine, and mm. I have no idea what that comes from. You know, I guess the way I try to deal with fear is think, okay, what is
the trigger, or what's the base the trigger, of it?
Yeah, what's the origin
right.
of mm. this fear? Like, I don't actually have a fear of stairs, like a phobia, but I'm afraid of falling downstairs, and I'm sure that's my balance and eyesight and things like that. But I try to think, well, what's the basis for this? And I can't think of anything for the claustrophobia. Mm-hmm. I really can't. I've always hated tight spaces.
Right.
Always.
Right. That's just uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess.
I think it depends. I mean... Like if there's light, then
that doesn't matter.
If you're in a closet and there's light, I'm fine.
But I don't consider a closet necessarily as claustrophobic. I don't know. I mean, it's like
it would depend on the closet.
It would depend on the closet, I guess. I sit there and I think about, oh gosh, what were we watching? I can't remember what it was. Were they going through like a cave or something? And it was very
when
tight.
When you have to get down and crawl and
yeah, I'm
like
not going to, no.
Oh.
For me, claustrophobia is having my movement restricted.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, even in your pantry, I wouldn't necessarily feel claustrophobic because I can still move.
Right, like I had an MRI.
Mm.
Oh gosh, no.
Yeah, no.
And even an open MRI.
Huh. I haven't had one of those.
It's not that open. It's a lie.
Well, I feel like if movement is restricted, and I also think, for me at least, and this is just individual, that claustrophobia and suffocation for me go hand in hand,
sure.
Like I said, if my movement is restricted, I feel like I can't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Or, now this is the other thing, in crowds... If I'm in a crowd that's so big that you're actually crushed together and people are...
that's awful.
You know, and you can only kind of go in the same direction that everybody else does. I've experienced that twice in my life. Once at the Greek festival when I was a little bitty kid.
Oh. Well, that'd be terrible too because you're a kid.
Yeah, and you can't see. I was there with my parents and my dad finally picked me up and put me on his shoulders and I was fine then. But the other time was at the Galleria.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember the girl... Gosh, I can't remember her name, but anyway, she was a young Asian girl, and she had won the ice skating Olympic.
Oh yeah, Michelle Kwan.
Michelle Kwan. Okay, she was doing an exhibition at the ice rink in the Galleria, and I really wanted to see. You know, she was she was poetry in motion on the ice.
Or was it Christy Yamaguchi?
No, I think it was
Michelle Kwan.
Michelle Kwan. This was a long time ago.
So was Christy Yamaguchi.
Yeah.
Oh, was it? For some reason, the Michelle Kwan sounds more familiar. But anyway, I don't know what made me so stupid to think that the rest of Houston wouldn't want to see her, too. And so I got there and I parked and I went in and it was just literal. I mean, people were touching me. I don't mean touching me with their hands, but I just mean we were standing so close together. my arm. I couldn't move my arms without touching somebody else, and they were pressed up against me, and I couldn't stay. I had to leave. I started pushing people out of my way. I get a combination of angry and panicked. Mm-hmm. And I literally started pushing people. It's like, get out of my way. I've got to get out of here. Yeah. I can't do this. So I didn't get to see her skate. I was really sad. But, you know, at least I can breathe now.
Jeez. But couldn't you have gone up to the top, the third level?
Every level.
Oh.
Every level around where you could see the ring.
Right.
Any vantage point was just solid. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't even...
I mean, I don't know why they didn't have her in the summit. That would have made more sense.
Was the summit even then there?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's been Lakewood for so long.
No. It wasn't Lakewood then.
That, to me, that would have made more sense.
Well, maybe
unless it was the wrong
think...
season. Maybe it was...
Hockey season.
No, maybe it was like basketball season or something.
Oh, could be.
Oh, did they?
I don't know, but they keep the floor. I don't know how it works. I don't know.
But I know that the rink at the Galleria was owned by the Ice Capades.
Oh,
at least at that
really?
Time. And yeah, because I took lessons there.
Oh.
And the Ice Capades were the ones.
So this was a long time ago.
Long time ago.
So that wasn't Michelle Kwan.
Probably wasn't Michelle Kwan.
No, that was not Michelle Kwan. Michelle Kwan was in the 2000s or the
90s? Yeah, probably maybe.
And Christina Yamaguchi was in the 90s. Christina was
in the 90s.
Okay, well, maybe it was her then. Anyway, they were both beautiful on the ice, and I wanted to see whichever one it was. And
if anybody knows, you can throw it out.
But I really enjoyed ice skating, and like I said, I took lessons there, and I thought, oh, I want to see, you know, because she looked like she flew. Like there was no friction anywhere. It was just amazing to watch.
Yeah.
And, but... couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. So that would be mine. So we're back to you.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's kind of silly now, but when I was a kid, I read A Wrinkle in Time, you know, the series. And I think it was the second book. When the boy's mitochondria was dying.
Yeah, that's a great book. That's a great series.
Oh, it is, but I had a fear.
I don't think I read that.
That my mitochondria would die.
I think I read the first book. I don't think I read the second book.
Yeah, there were three, weren't there?
Yeah, there were three. I can't remember the name of it. But yeah, I had a fear that my mitochondria were going to die.
Did you even know what that meant?
No.
Well, I just knew that my cells would die and then I would die.
Oh.
Yikes.
Well, that's what it is.
Oh my gosh, that reminds me of.
It sells energy.
Did anybody ever see Lawnmower Man?
Yes!
Oh. Yeah, and he turned into a lawnmower, right? Or no, he turned.
No!
No, wait. No, he was like in a computer game or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
No, but it there was like somebody, was it Lawnmower Man? And he was part of a science experiment or something, and he became his for lack of a better term, his brain power. He was able to manipulate things. And I remember, like, didn't he turn he separated somebody's atoms or something like that. So, you remember that?
Yeah.
And every time the guy would breathe, his atoms would separate. Like, and then finally he just thought him to explode. And that made me think of that as, like, your mitochondria, your cells dying off, but like you just see like your body turning into that guy whose atoms had separated, and every time you breathe, your atoms would separate and then
that's kind of
dissipate
horrifying.
Into nothing. Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, it's something that sticks in my mind.
Yeah.
I had all the childhood. The thing under the bed.
Oh god.
I used to think there was a samurai soldier under my bed.
Oh, I would take that over what I thought.
Well, and mixing cultures here, and I understand this. He had a huge curved scimitar.
Oh.
And if I got up to go to the restroom or something in the night, he would cut my feet off.
Oh dang.
At the ankles.
Mm-hmm.
So my parents, I would stand in the middle of my bed and leap to the middle of the room. And as I've already said, I'm very clumsy and have no sense of balance. So instead of landing gracefully, you know, and everything, I'd go clonk. My parents always thought that something really heavy had fallen on me or something. They come, are you okay? Are you okay? Yeah, I don't want the samurai to get me. The what? And I thought there were carnivorous sock puppets that lived at the foot of my bed.
Oh, jeez.
And any part of me that wasn't covered with the blanket, they would come and eat. Mm-hmm. But because I'm claustrophobic and afraid of summer, I couldn't put my head under the covers. So
you had quite a conundrum, didn't you? You're very confused.
So those carnivorous sock puppets were going to come and eat my
That's
head.
That's bizarre.
Okay. Well, I guess on a more intimate level or whatever, I mean, if we're going to dig a little bit deeper here, one of my really, I feel like, valid fears, given my circumstances and everything, I am terrified of ending up homeless.
Oh, geez.
That is... And I feel like that's a very real thing, you know, I have to, so that's one that is kind of in my heart.
Yeah.
So don't make me be the only one who confesses something like that. I need to, oh my gosh. Yeah.
Well, you can always live here.
Thank you. But yeah, that's one that definitely keeps me awake.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And in tears.
Mm-hmm. Oh, jeez.
I'll lay awake and cry about that. Because I just don't know. But, okay, so.
Well, I mean, obviously, I would be terrified if something happened to the kids.
Oh, yeah.
Or Scott. Or,
oh, sure.
You know, absolutely, yeah.
When they go out to look for snails at night.
Oh, my gosh. Seriously.
Drag them back.
Can they not just keep the snails in here and just search in the corner?
The snail obsession is really escaping Bizarre. Me.
I don't understand.
I don't get that. Where did that come from?
I don't know.
You can't pet a snail.
They just picked it up and thought snails were really cute one day, and then she started collecting them. She would put them all in the chair. She would have, like, 30 snails climbing all over the chair. And then she decided, oh, it's better to put them in a box. So let's put them in a planter.
Yeah, they'd be so much happier in the grass.
But they're slimy. I mean...
They're not slimy.
Well, she just
they
picks
leave
them
slime
up.
Trails.
That's more like slugs. Yeah. But I guess they do.
Snails do leave slime trails.
Well, these are not their fault.
I mean, these aren't like big-ass snails that you eat.
I know, but I wouldn't want one on my hand. Ew.
I remember holding snails.
Yeah, I mean, she just collects them, puts them in there, and when they escape, she brings them back. See, the snails are leaving. Let me pluck them back.
Because I want to be free. Let me be free.
I want to go live in the plants.
It's not as bad as my one odd account of... This is really going to creep y'all out.
Snails?
Cockroach. And
oh, now that's a phobia. Those giant...
I think that's just...
Oh, my gosh.
No, but this will really creep you out. For some weird reason, Mom sprayed the cockroach. I felt bad for the cockroach. I tried to wipe the spray off of the cockroach.
Okay, that's just weird.
I know.
I drown it in Raid. Or I get Scott too. Or Lisey. Lisey will kill him too.
Yeah, Lisey. Lisey's pretty.
She's a pretty vicious girl. I'm like, Lisey, cockroach, kill. And she'll like run and smash.
Well, you're the one that broke a window trying to kill a cockroach.
What? I think that was Mom throwing
no, that was
a can
you.
At you.
No, that
because you did something. You didn't eat or something, and she got mad and threw a dish at her. She threw a pan and broke a window.
It was a lid, I think.
No, I thought it was a pot.
It was a pot lid.
It was something. But you wouldn't eat breakfast.
No, it was a bad morning.
I just remember her throwing it.
Every morning is bad.
No, but this was upstairs, and there was a cockroach, and you threw a shoe, and you broke the window.
Did I kill the cockroach?
No.
I just hate it when they fly back at you.
Oh, my God.
They attack you.
And then you run. Oh, and then
and they get in your hair.
You're scritching.
What?
The scritching.
Oh, yeah, the sound.
You're lying in bed, mm-hmm. and you hear that, and you know there's something
it's a roach.
And we didn't have cats. Mm-hmm. And it was like, and you're like, oh God, something is in this room.
Yeah.
And it's hiding.
That is the most horrible
coming
feeling.
Out, and I don't know where it is.
Inevitably, what happens to me is I'll bring something in one of those plastic bags, you know, that are ubiquitous these days.
Yeah.
And I'll put the bag down.
Oh, no.
And I'll think, oh, I'll take care of it in the morning. I'm tired. You know, go to sleep, and you wake up, and you hear the...
The rustle of the plastic bag.
Yeah.
And you know it's not a dog.
Yeah. That was the worst sound, and you're trying to pinpoint the sound. Like, yeah. Where is it?
That's the nice thing about the lake house. No cockroaches.
Yeah, but you have other things.
And see, I don't understand that, because to me, that would be a cockroach heaven.
There's no roaches up there.
Maybe it's too hot.
No.
Dry.
No.
I don't know.
Well,
they do have cockroaches in Austin.
Well, yeah. You have cockroaches in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Those things, though, when they fly... And I have...
But you know, I never saw one in San Antonio.
It's really? Drier. It's drier.
Yeah, I never saw a cockroach in San Antonio.
I didn't see the big ones. I saw some of the tiny ones.
They have cockroaches in LA, which shocked me.
I thought it was
truly just a Texas phenomenon, but
oh no.
Yeah, no, they have cockroaches. The flying cockroaches are in LA.
Well, I never saw them in New York.
I never saw any. Well,
they're probably in the sewers.
The rats ate them.
Ooh, yeah, maybe.
That's true.
The rats probably ate them. Hmm. When we had the rat at the house on Kimberly, the cockroaches oddly disappeared.
Oh, that's a point in the rat's favor.
Yes.
But I don't mind rats, really. They're kind of cute.
Mice are cute.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was one of my heartfelt confessions. I want to know heartfelt confessions from you guys. That's yours.
Okay. What was your heartfelt confession? The girls?
Something happening to the kids or to Scott.
The kids. Okay. Everybody's looking at me.
It's your turn.
Gosh.
You have to dig deep and you have to confess.
I can't.
Yes, you can. I have faith in you.
No pressure.
Although I do think that was a little bit of a cop-out.
I did think so, too. What? That was just logic.
Well, I mean, I think that any mom or any wife who loves her husband, I think that would be...
Yeah.
I mean, it would be devastating. It would be...
Right, but then you would be alone.
So that goes deeper. That's a different level.
Okay, so a fear of being alone.
Yeah.
That's a different level.
Because then, you know, why would you... I don't know. I'm just not one of those people who would be like, oh, I need to go find somebody else now.
No, you don't strike me as that sort of thing.
So I would probably just end up being alone for, like, the rest of my life.
So you have a fear of being alone.
Well, you don't want to be alone.
Some people don't mind being alone.
Yeah,
well, I mean, it depends on if it's by choice or forced upon you.
That's true.
Yeah, if it's by your choice, then that's okay.
I have chosen that.
But if it's something that was brought on you that you didn't want, then it's different.
Well, you won't let me be homeless and I won't let you be alone, so I think that works out well.
That works out.
And I'll just go find myself a nunnery in Switzerland somewhere.
Well, no, you can come not be alone with us.
Okay, yeah.
All right, yours, your turn.
Oh, gosh.
Dig deep.
I don't know.
You can do it. I know you can.
I'm thinking. There's so many. Really. Okay. It's kind of pathetic.
I don't know.
I'm just trying to think of, like, what are one of the things that really kind of dwells on me?
What can bring you to tears?
Oh, gosh, everything can bring me to tears. Are you kidding? I'm really pathetic in that sense.
Jobs.
But that's not, like, a true...
Well, not having a job, not having any.
Well, yeah.
Okay,
but
I'm going to throw my next one out because I think that it might be one that you and I share.
Mm-hmm.
I might be overstepping my bounds here, but kind of on a grander scale of where we're going with this is a fear of my circumstances never changing.
Yeah.
That this is my life.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah. No, no, no. Absolutely. Feeling, okay. Feeling trapped, helplessness, out of control. I don't like to be out of control.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, but that's kind of, that's not really fear. That's just not liking things. That's not liking your circumstance. It's not liking how you present yourself. I guess one of my fears would be,
you know, the longer you pause, the more editing you have to do.
I know.
Fear of editing?
Fear of editing. Since I don't know the bloody program.
Never changing.
I don't know. I guess the fear of not having a voice, the fear of not being able to express who I am as a person. I don't want to end up like Dad.
Oh, yeah.
And not having anyone to support me and help me. So that ties into being afraid of being alone. The fear of not being able to trust people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've certainly have people have said that I'm very, I don't want to say hard to get to know, but guarded. I guess.
Well, I think
I kind of have a wall. I don't.
I think that given recent circumstances, that's perfectly understandable.
Yeah, but I think I've always been that way, in a way.
I don't know. When we met, you weren't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you were to some people.
That was different. That wasn't hard to get to know. That wasn't. Don't piss me off. It's a little bit different. But I don't know. I guess the fear of being, I don't want to be trapped. If that makes sense. So I don't want to lose my choices. I don't want to,
a fear of losing your autonomy.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and even it kind of ties into, the fear of being, I don't want to be stuck in a situation. I want to feel like I have the freedom to be like, you know, I want to go to Hawaii for a week. I want to do this. I want to be able to do that. I don't want to have to be told or made to feel like, nope, you can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess.
I think that's a bit, you touched on one of mine too, being helpless. I mean, I think about being out there where I am, and even something as simple as if I were to fall and, mm-hmm. you know,
oh, gosh.
Break an arm or break mm-hmm. a leg, I could lay there for days
mm-hmm.
and, you know, no one would know.
And that's not uncommon.
I know. And that terrifies me.
Mm-hmm.
Just, or just everyone being gone and, you know, my knee hurts. Okay, what if I get stuck in a wheelchair? Who's going to wheel me? Who's going to,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you start thinking about
mortality.
Well,
right?
Your day-to-day routine. And, I mean, something that I would find absolutely mortifying would be if I had to have someone help me use the restroom, or
mm-hmm.
help me bathe, or mm-hmm. that kind of thing, or God forbid if I got to the point where I had to wear the diapers or something like that, somebody changing me.
Mm-hmm.
That
the loss of dignity.
Yes.
I guess
yeah.
you could call yeah. it the loss of dignity.
Loss of dignity, loss of privacy.
Yeah.
Yeah, loss of individualism, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the loss of autonomy, because that's, you can't make decisions for yourself anymore.
Right.
You have to always take into account that, you know, someone has to be there.
Right.
But I just kind of wonder how much of that is like a modern Western thought. You sit there and you think, back in the day when we were a tribal society, when we people took care of their own.
The community or the community family did, but you think about...
That's why we're such in a different society, especially American societies, where we are very individual. You move out of the house. You get your own home. You don't stay with your family. You don't... You don't see that so much in Europe and other countries, where families tend to stick together and multi-generations help each other.
Most people do have family. I don't have anyone anymore.
Yeah.
And I... Now...
But that's what I'm saying, like, in some places you have, like, a whole community together.
Yeah. Now, I chose not to have children, and I chose not to get married. That is on me. Mm-hmm. But also, when you're at the time of life where you're thinking about those things, you're not thinking, well, when I'm 70 years old, you know.
No, who's you don't think about that.
Who's going to make me a cup of tea or something, but...
Right.
Yeah. Okay, since you ladies seem more private than I thought.
I will open up eventually. It's the fear of opening up. That's a fear as well.
That's true. That's true. Leaving yourself vulnerable.
Oh, gosh, yes.
But here's something. What about fears that came from, say, movies that you've seen or books that you've read? Like, I'll start the ball rolling on this one. I think I've told you guys about this, but... One of the goofiest movies ever made, The Legend of Boggy Creek. I don't know if you guys have seen
it. I've never even seen it. I mean, I know.
It's decades old, and it's
goofy.
Doesn't
it take place in Texas?
I think it's like Louisiana? Texas or the border of Texas and Oklahoma. Anyway, yeah, somewhere down here.
Down there.
And there's a scene in it where the high school girls or some high school girls are having sort of a slumber party and that kind of thing. And they've got the cream on their faces and the rollers in their hair. Uh-huh. You know, this was like late 60s, early 70s. And they start hearing noises on the porch. They're all in the living room and eating popcorn and gossiping and, you know, doing girly stuff.
And the parents are never around.
No. Yeah. They had gone to bed. So they start hearing something on the front porch, which is right outside the living room window. And they're like, oh, the guys have come to, you know, scare us, and the guys are going to tease us and all this kind of stuff. So they make this big plan of what they're going to do. And then they yank the curtains open, and Bigfoot is right on the other side of the window.
Oh.
Let me tell you, as goofy as that movie is, I have never been able to open my curtains at night since I saw that movie. When I go to bed, if they're open, they have to stay open. Uh-huh. If they're closed, they have to stay closed. Once it gets dark, the curtains don't move.
Oh, jeez.
So that would be one of mine.
Okay. Aliens. Okay, so if we're going into something like a movie, one of my, my reoccurring nightmares is... The aliens from the Alien movie series, the big giant bug things.
Yeah.
And tornadoes. And it always seems to kind of...
In tornadoes?
And tornadoes. Oh, and tornadoes.
Sharknado.
No, not Sharknado. And it always seems to kind of take place at the lake house. I don't know why. I'm always trying to, like, I'm being chased by aliens, and then there's always, like, a tornado coming or something. I don't know. It's just, like, the most bizarre. It's awful.
It sounds very stressful.
It is very stressful. I think it's just an indication of my life. But, no, this is one of my reoccurring nightmares. I've been having them forever.
I understand that.
So, yeah, tornadoes terrify me. Oh, gosh, tornadoes scare me. But again, I think that kind of ties into anything where I could be buried alive. So earthquakes and tornadoes.
I can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
All ties into the base of being buried alive.
I think
alive.
I'd rather just live down here where you know the hurricane's coming 2 weeks.
Well, but you got tornadoes here too.
Not as much.
Yeah, you do. There's a lot.
Not as much.
There's a lot of tornadoes here.
I mean, there's a few, but it's not like...
It's not like Dallas.
Tornado Alley.
Yeah, it's not like Dallas at all.
Cool.
Yeah. No, I mean, we might get a handful, but... I mean, honestly, they've never affected where I was living.
Where we used to skate, that got hit by a tornado.
That was once in how many years?
I'm just saying.
I'm just, but it's not like.
I'm just saying. And that was just a hop, skip, and a jump right there, Town and Country.
Yeah, but it's not like Tornado Alley where you have,
oh, I know. Constantly. I know. I'm just saying.
Storm cellars that you have to go down into.
Gosh, I want a storm cellar at the lake house. You have no idea.
Yeah, but then who knows what might move in there.
Yeah. Oh. That's right. Bugs and creepy crawlies.
No, she's talking about things that go bump in the night.
Yeah.
Aliens.
Okay, so what about you?
I guess it's just, you know, going back to, like, not being able to see what is out there. Like, I don't...
But, like, what movie or book or picture even?
Oh, gosh, it. Clowns.
Clowns are just the creepiest thing. Dolls. In the world with their eyes. And they look at you and they follow you. And
they follow
and
you.
They walk. With those little wobbly legs and they're coming after you. And it's just like, oh God, no.
That's horrible.
That's right.
Can you imagine that? It's and like, you grow up and you're like, all you want to do, you want to be a clown. You want to make children laugh and be happy. And they look at you and they scream and run away because you're this terrifying creature of hell.
There's this group that comes out to the park, and there's some kind of hybrid of mime and clown.
Oh, Jesus, sounds horrible.
I know, and I guess they're practicing or whatever, but I'm taking the train around, you know, and I'm happily smiling and waving to people.
And then you see like, these things.
No, speed up. Yeah, I don't know. I think just dolls in general are just creepy. And
they can be.
They, you know, I don't know. I think most of the scary movies were the psychological ones, not like the big jumping out of the closet. Got you, you know.
It's
like
that's pretty. That's a jump scare,
right?
Jump scares.
But the psychological ones, where you know the whatever gets into your mind, and then you start slowly going mad. Because you're, like, convinced that, you know, something's going to get you, but there's nothing there.
That's me walking to the car every morning before I'm going to work.
Oh, those old movies, there was a whole spate of them. It wasn't exactly like, they weren't exactly like Gaslight, but it was like, I think they were like in the 40s or 50s, I'm not sure exactly the time period, but a reporter would decide that they were going to go undercover into an insane asylum or something and figure and expose the conditions and all this kind of stuff. But then no one would believe that he was saying, you know, that no one would believe his story.
So like, he'd be trapped in there forever.
Yeah. That,
right.
Oh, those.
It's like that was
put
like
me through some changes.
Was that One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest? Wasn't didn't he go undercover? No, he didn't go undercover, but he went there to escape something. Or
he was a criminal. He went there to escape the police. He got a in other words, instead of being sentenced to jail, he was sentenced.
He acted like he was insane, so he would go to the insane asylum, and then he ended up getting
Okay. Those used to just. Oh, those would make my skin crawl. When you couldn't, you're telling the truth. You're sincere, and you can't make people believe you. You know they're not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that. That was a horrible thing.
I will. Yeah, I psych myself out very easily. I the dark scares me. I can't. Oh gosh, walking to the car, especially up at the lake, and it's so dark and it's so
you're
quiet.
You're convinced there's something out there.
There's something,
and you know
out,
there's
something
there. Out there. And
just
it's
watching
jump out
you.
To get you. But
and
you don't
waiting.
Know, but you don't know if it's like an animal or a person.
Or an alien.
See, I have a totally different reaction to the dark.
Or ghost.
The dark.
Well, I mean, the dark
is nice.
Oh my gosh,
it's like our neighbors. They play flashlight tag.
Yeah.
In the dark. And I'm like going, are you nuts? It's dark.
See, that is my time. Mm-mm. I think because it's quiet and nobody's Mm-mm. wanting anything from me or, you know, anything. I feel like that's all mine.
Yeah. It's just what else is out there.
Oh.
Yeah. You know?
Dogs.
Dogs. It's yeah, like mom's story. Of course, that was in the middle of the daylight. You know her window story.
Right, right.
You don't know the window. Oh.
No, you told her about when she saw... She thought
the eyes.
And she thought it was like an alien in a tree or something looking at her. She thought it was a monkey or something.
Yeah. In her mind, it registered as a monkey. But of course, it wasn't a monkey.
Right.
And that was in the middle of the day.
It could have been a squirrel or cat. You know.
Big eyes.
Possums have eyes.
What if she was...
It was in the middle of the day.
Aliens don't come in the day. They only
come
at night.
How do
you know? They're not walking around.
How do you know?
You don't.
I've never seen a gray in the day.
Have you? You've never seen a gray?
How do you know?
Oh, I know something that scared the daylights out of me. Have you guys ever seen that book by Whitley Strieber, Communion?
Oh, yeah. No.
The
Mom had it.
In front?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no.
I had to turn that book over to sleep at night.
Yeah. You had it in your room?
Yeah.
Are you crazy?
I must have been, because that book... And I'm not really that into aliens one way or the other, but that book scared the daylights out of me. And that picture on the front.
Oh, yeah.
There's a part where they would come to get him or something, and they would be behind his bedroom door. Like,
and wouldn't he be like, I can see you?
Yeah.
I see you.
Yeah. And, I just got goosebumps again. That book is terrible.
I remember, I never read the book. I remember... Mom had the book.
Gosh. Yeah, I remember them.
But there was a movie, and wasn't Christopher Walken? Not Christopher Walken. Who was it? Christopher Walken who was in it? I can't remember who was in it, but I remember seeing that
Can I just take a moment here? I love Christopher Walken. Okay, continue.
Okay, sorry. No, but I remember that one. That's the only scene that I saw, and he's like, I see you. I see you. You see these little short grays everywhere.
Oy, oy, yeah. No.
I see you.
Oh, no, that book, no, that's on my no-fly list. I can't believe I read it when I did.
I can't believe you read it, period.
I read it during the time, do you remember, I can't remember what they called him, the Railroad Killer or something like that.
Oh, yeah, Mendez.
No, Resendez Ramirez.
Ramirez, yeah.
Yeah, and you remember he killed that lady doctor in West University. Mm-hmm. Well, see, that was within walking distance of my grandparents' house,
mm-hmm.
and where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was living in my grandparents' house at the time. You know, the rest of my family was in Arkansas. And so he's on the loose,
mm-hmm.
and I'm reading Communion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was just not conducive to good sleep. Okay, no. Let me tell you.
Definitely not.
No, that was terrifying. Can't think of anything more if y'all don't want to get into like a psychotherapy.
Well, thing. No, I just I guess I am. But would this really truly be it's not a fear. It's trying to determine the difference between a fear and a disappointment.
Well, what is it? And we'll tell you.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the words. I'm going to get in so much trouble by saying this. Going through life without ever really having that experience of like a true love.
Yeah.
You know? Is that a disappointment or is that a fear?
Oh, I think it's a little bit of both.
Be both.
Yeah, I think so. I think
not being to be able to be with someone that you could just like expose your entire soul, your entire
that you can trust
being. Mm-hmm.
I think I had that and lost it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of like you say, you know, you wouldn't go out and look for someone else. It's sort of like there's not a second choice, mm-hmm. or something. Yeah,
right.
That's hard. Mm-hmm. That is so hard. And that you can have the confidence to be yourself and just kind of open your heart.
Mm-hmm. No judgment, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But really believe, I think I'm past the point where I could really be confident that, I don't even know how to articulate it, that just sort of totally be myself, or
yeah,
I don't know, that's, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big one, that's huge. That could also go along with your fear of being alone, and
yeah,
you know, you don't,
I mean, there's always people that you might feel comfortable with,
but there's a difference, right?
There is a difference. Now, I think too that you have to make a difference between,
well, I think it's having an age
that
thing too.
Well, I think you have to make a difference between having that in a romantic sense and having that in a friendship sense. In other words, I would trust either of you guys with my life.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I would be willing to bare my soul to you
right.
guys. But that's not a romantic relationship.
Right.
You
know, I think it's more, I think, but that's like an age thing. Like, you know, when you're younger, you know, you just want that, everybody's like, I want that love where you just look at somebody and you just know, like, you know, they know my
that's
soul.
That's an ideal. That's an idealism. But also there's more of a lustful love as
right,
opposed to...
Right, but I think you're also maybe more open because you're younger and you haven't experienced
yeah,
so
and
many
you don't,
disappointments.
And you don't have the fear of being...
Judged,
rejected.
You know, right.
I don't know. I mean, I've never felt...
But when you're younger,
when I was younger, I was very...
Hope. Yeah.
Well, you have
yeah.
hope, but I guess...
But it's like, you know, oh,
I never felt comfortable. Oh, yeah,
I
yeah.
I have my life ahead of me, so I'll meet other people. There'll be somebody else. But I think as you get older, you realize that, well, this might be it.
Mm-hmm.
And there might not be anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, you know, I should be happy with what I have.
Mm-hmm. That's settling.
I don't think it's settling. I mean, you could be happy with somebody, but then kind of like, oh, I wish he was, you know, more, you know, exciting, or I wish he would sweep me off my feet like he used to when I was 22, and, you know, we could go to the park and have dinner, and it was like romantic. Now it's like, oh, we go to Ninfa's and we have dinner, and you know,
it's different. Like for me, I just want to be able to sit with somebody and just have a true heart to heart, just delve into the mind conversation.
But I think that's kind of what she was talking about. In other words, I do think that's a function of age, because when you're younger, you do have this kind of unrealistic, you know,
oh,
I'm going to find my soulmate.
Oh, sure.
I'm going to find my other
right.
half, which
right.
I hate.
Yeah.
If you're not complete
my
on your own.
Flame.
Right.
Don't.
Twin flame, which is so twisted and whatever.
Yeah, but this
yeah.
whole thing of, oh, I want someone to complete me. If you're not complete, you are not ready
mm-hmm.
for someone else in your life. But
yeah, somebody else isn't going to make you happy. You have to be happy on your own accord.
Right.
There's only
right.
one person that I've ever been with, and we lived together for 17 years, so you guys know who I'm talking about. That I could look down the line. I mean, yes, when you're in that first blush of love and the lust and
right.
you know, everything is hot and heavy and all this kind of stuff. But then to look beyond that
mm-hmm.
into later years
mm-hmm.
and
still see yourself.
Will we still have something to talk
yeah.
about? Will we still, you know, sex is wonderful. It's great.
But it doesn't
last.
There's got to be more depth to a relationship than just.
Well, even if it lasts,
right.
you want something to do when you're vertical as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know,
right?
Common interests.
I was just
kind
of thinking, you know, it's like, yeah, you want that companionship. You want to be able to, you know, have a meeting of the minds, if you will. But I think when you're younger, it's easier to deal with the breakup. Or the heartache when it doesn't work out, because there's still hope that you'll meet somebody else. But, you know, as you get older, then you realize it's like, Okay, well, everyone I know is married, and they don't have any single friends. So I'd have to, you know, and it's harder to meet people.
I don't know. I would have to respectfully disagree, at least in my case, because I feel like I did find that. And when it ended, there wasn't any second place. I mean, I was still young, and I wasn't thinking, oh, there's other people and all that kind of, it's like, no, I'm,
oh,
there isn't.
It's like you lost a part of your soul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you, which to me kind of, you sat there and you said the whole twin flame, the whole soulmate. Oh, I wish people would stop saying that, but it's, to me, it sounds like you had and lost your soul.
No, because I don't feel like he completed me. I feel like as through the years, mm-hmm. as we were together and got to know each other better and better, that we shared parts mm-hmm. of ourselves. I'm not saying he was a soulmate. Mm-hmm. I'm saying we combined mm-hmm. rather than completing mm-hmm. or that kind of thing. We were both complete people.
Well, I think that the verbiage of being a soulmate completing each other is probably the wrong thing to say. Combining the souls together into one.
But it takes time.
Yeah.
It takes time, and it takes common interest. It takes common ground. It takes
patience.
It takes an intellectual exchange of ideas. It takes a lot more than just the physical.
Well, the physical
can be great.
But I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like that craving. We're getting onto something completely. But no, that craving of something, there's got to be something so much more out there in a relationship. And if you never find it, or the fear of never being able to make that connection with somebody. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, what's the point? I mean, what is the point? I don't want to sit there and look back on the end of my life and feel like, gosh, what a waste of my life.
But see, okay, that too, I think, is a different focus, because if you're focusing only on romantic relationships, because there's a lot that, I mean, we've all left our marks in certain ways, and we'll continue to do so. So I don't think that you should feel as bleak as you do about it, because it doesn't always have to be that kind of partnership. Mm-hmm. It can be, I mean, I know you've left an indelible mark on my life.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
And we'll continue to, sort of thing. So, but no, I do understand it's that special someone that, mm-hmm. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's very hard. It's hard to think about being without that. And cats don't like it either.
No.
Your cat wants to know that you still love him.
I do. Demon kitty.
No, Gray's sweet.
Yeah, sweet kitty moo.
Well, I feel like that was a pretty good effort. It's kind of hard to leave yourself vulnerable and lay yourself bare with your innermost fears and deepest terrors and that kind of thing.
Oh, geez.
So maybe we can revisit it sometime after a couple of cocktails and help the situation.
Right.
But thank you for being with us. And I think you'll really like our next one. It has a little bit of legend, a little bit of history, a little bit of creepy, a little bit of funny.
Yeah.
So tune in, and we're always glad you're there.
Bye.